Good evening. I'd like to call the August 4th Harbor Advisory Board meeting to order. The first order of business I'd ask you to complete tonight would be we are missing our chairman and our vice chairman. So if we could have a motion to appoint an acting chairman for the evening to conduct the meeting, I'd appreciate it.
I move that Gene Dougherty be the acting chair for the evening.
I second that.
We have a motion and a second. Could I see a vote?
Aye.
I got that, five ayes.
Good evening. This August 4th, 2005, Harbor Advisory Board meeting. I'd like to entertain a motion for approval of the minutes or questions. Any changes? Hearing none, I'll ask for approval of the minutes.
I'll make the motion for the minutes.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. At this point, we'll listen to oral communications from the audience. Scott, do you have anything to say?
Good evening, Board. My name is Nancy Castle, resident and AGP video owner, and I'm sure you're all aware that the Fish and Game Commission is coming to the county on August 18th and 19th. They will be meeting at the new board chambers in San Luis Obispo, and the meeting will be presented live on Channel 21, and also we will stream the meeting through our Slow Span website, and it possibly will also be on the Fish and Game website as well. I'd also like to let you know that on the evening of the 18th, we will be having another Fish and Game dinner here in the Vets Hall, where we will be providing fish. This event is going on, and be glad to accept any donations of food. If anybody has an abundance of something they would like to share with the community, to get in touch with me or with Sue down at the Harbor office. And we look forward to accomplishing quite a bit while the Fish and Game Commission is in the county. So thank you.
What were those dates again, please?
They're August 18th and 19th, or the 19th, or the Fish and Game Commission meeting days. And the 18th, the meeting is starting at 10:30 in the morning, and on the 19th, it starts at 8:30 in the morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hearing no further oral communications, I close that. Action item number four, for 4.1B, management of the city-owned property on the sand spit. And Rick, I'd ask for a staff report.
Yeah, good evening again. Let me just note for the record that the board members, Anderson and Lockwood, are absent. All other board members are present. And this item is put on at your... Let me say one other thing, too. Thanks to Nancy for that update, and also thanks to Nancy and the AGP video for organizing the dinner with the Fish and Game Commission. They're working hard to do that, and we appreciate it. On this action item here, management of the city-owned property of the sand spit, that item was put on at your request at your May meeting, I believe, at the June of our Harbor Advisory Board. So it was put on in the June meeting. So we've given you a short report, included a map to show the Typhon's grant. I'm prepared to answer questions as best I can, but I would put it back to you maybe to bring this issue on.
Questions of the board? Go ahead.
A definition. What is a fee owned? What is the fee-owned land?
Yeah, there's a comment from one of the board members that it was private property, as you can sell it. It's a legal real property term, meaning basically the underlying title is held versus Tideland's grant, which are the Tideland's areas are always held, can't be divested by the state of California. They can only be granted through legislation and trust. So those particular properties are owned by the city, could be sold by the city. The majority of the sand spit is the legal condition of the ownership.
Thank you.
Or just generally asked me a question why we were transporting Fish and Wildlife Service and Fish and Game to sand spit. Why weren't they using their own boats? And then I talked to Rick about it, and because the city's in a budget crunch, and I asked him why we were spending money on that, and he said, well, that both the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Fish and Game are giving the city a hand in the management of the plovers and other endangered species that are on there, and that's an environmentally sensitive habitat. So I thought, well, gee, the city owns all this land. At the time, I thought it was state lands stuff, but then I found out it was fee-owned property. And years ago, we used to be able to drive out there. The public had a lot of access. You can't drive there anymore. You can't ride a horse there anymore, except for between high tide and low tide. There used to be stables that used to rent horses to ride out there, and the state parks stopped them. So now we have a city-owned sand spit. We used to have a lot of clambers that go there. They don't go there anymore. In general, the majority of the public does not have access to use it, other than a few kayakers and a few people that go out there and go surfing. And even the surfers now are having a hard time, I guess, going across it in certain places because of the laws and the regulations where they are. And I thought, well, it'd be nice if it was a state park, but the problem is it's fee-owned property. And I don't believe that this city should even own that property. A public entity, to me, should own property for the expansion of certain goods and services for the public. In other words, such as property for the expansion of the sewer plant or the fire department or whatever. Or parking lots with parking lieu fees. But here we own this property over there in fee. We collect no property taxes over it. It costs us money. It's a liability. There's been some lawsuits because of people running into the sand spit, I believe. Is that correct, Rick? Was there a problem there?
You know, I don't recall any lawsuits over the ownership of the sand spit.
Not ownership, but there was a boat that ran up on the sand spit, and I think they named the city in a suit.
There was a lawsuit, in recent history, but it really had nothing to do with ownership of the sand spit.
I was wrong about that. Anyway, rather than have it as a liability, I thought the best thing to do would be to put it up for sale. Now, somebody said, are you nuts? Who's going to buy that sand spit? Well, I don't know. There's a lot of people with a lot of money in the United States that like to buy property and put little private properties and no trespassing signs up. And you never know if some land development company might want to buy it for 50 years down the line. But at any rate, I thought the Coastal Conservancy may step up to the plate and buy it and turn it into a state park. But they won't do that, and none of the environmentalists are going to like we used to. So that's why I brought this up, to see if anybody else had any ideas that the city could make some money off it and maybe it could be turned into a good purpose. But anyway, I would like to continue this item until Roger got back, because he's been in the town a long time. He knows a lot about the history. And it would give the general public time to digest this particular idea and come and scream about it or not scream about it, however they should feel. So that's kind of what I'd like to do, is continue the item and come back with some more information maybe.
Very interesting, Ed. You sure like to stir the pot.
You bet.
Any comments on what Ed just said?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have. Is this thing on? I have a few comments. I've thought about this a lot the last couple of weeks, and not knowing exactly what Ed was going to be asking for, but knowing a little bit about possibly some of the concerns. I'd like to make at least one comment, and that a city or a municipal entity doesn't just own property solely for the expansion of municipal services. A city can own property and actually has responsibility for open space lands and for being responsible for the natural resources that are there. So resource management and assuring open space land is something that we actually have identified within the city as something we want to continue to do in the future. This would be a very poor idea from the standpoint of assuring that. And I do assure you that municipal services is not the only reason why we have property. If you were to sell this, man, you just open up a major, major can of worms. But some of the reasons why, Ed had stated that he thought it was a good idea, number one, to reduce liability. Well, as Rick has mentioned, I'm not aware that there's a tremendous amount of liability there. There's not a tremendous amount of cost in managing that land, you know, taking somebody back and forth to the sand spit on occasion. If we don't want fish and game to be utilizing our services or state parks, they have the wherewithal to be able to cart their fannies on over there if they want to. So that isn't a huge expense. The cost of the fencing has actually been borne primarily through the state parks. And yes, we are responsible. That's not true. And neither is, you know, some of the surfers are going to have to deal with utilizing those corridors while they're up, which is not throughout the entire year. It is well worth it for that resource management. So to kind of wrap things up here, I think that the city, number one, doesn't incur a tremendous amount of liability. Number one, doesn't incur a tremendous amount of cost, has that resource available to them, and it is a very important resource. For us to turn that over to another agency or to even attempt to sell it, I believe would be a very poor choice on our part, especially if you were to consider if we decided to turn that over to state parks or fishing game. We have, as a city, had some questions about their management of their current properties and their resources here in the area to begin with. I think we are in the best position to manage that resource at low cost, and I think it would be a really poor idea to turn it over to somebody or sell it.
I have a few comments to make on hers, though, just for a quick one on. That's going to be open space pretty much no matter who buys it for quite a while. So it wouldn't matter if the city owned it or not. It's still going to be open space the way the laws are.
Any other comments?
I would like to see the board discuss this further as Ed suggested. I would like to see, since it is for the benefit of rules and regulations made by Fish and Game in regards to the snowy plover and its endangered status, since it is their definition of it being endangered, I would like to see them being more responsible for maintenance of that area, and that the city be relieved of that responsibility. Whether that involves giving up the sand spit or ownership of it is something I'd have to think about.
I'd like to maybe clue Ed in on one of the comments he made about how it doesn't really benefit the city just sitting out there, because certain times of the year you're not able to walk or use part of it. You know, people aren't. I would say that's the very same thing. A tourist community like this, where we depend so much on the environment to attract people to this community.
Well, I believe you're right,
yeah.
And I agree with you. That's why I think the environmental movement ought to buy it, period.
Well, I often hear a lot of people are concerned because so many different levels of government get involved in issues, and I think the more property that the city controls has direct control over, or more direct control over, primary control over, is the better to help shape our community. If you go north of Atascadero Creek, or Atascadero State Beach, which is that Choro Creek? No. Morrow Creek, yeah. North of Morrow Creek, that section of the beach is state park, where the south section towards the rock is city property. And a lot of people have been complaining that, the city should have control of that section. So I don't think that we want to get, that section of the sand spit out there, lose control of that. And regardless of who has control of it, Endangered Species Act rules and regulations are going to apply. So I just see it as an asset at this point. So
that's where United, I see it as liability.
Yeah.
Well, I see no harm in continuing this discussion, and I would entertain a motion to continue this action.
I'll make a motion to do it. Continue to next meeting.
I'll second it.
So does that mean all conversation discussion is over tonight?
No, there's a if there's a question on that, go ahead.
My question is this, is Ed has suggested that we turn the sand spit over and we sell it to the environmental community. that's a tall order because as far as I know quite a few of the fishermen here, quite a few of a whole variety of different people from demographic areas and that are doing a whole variety of different things around here, including Ducks Unlimited and the NEP, a whole lot of folks that have different mission statements, call themselves environmentalists. So to say that we want to just turn this over to the environmental community.
Comments, just to maybe correct a few things, because I didn't want to leave the impression that the requirements on our property out there are due to fish and game or even state parks. I think that it is, I believe, it all goes back to the Endangered Species Act with the snowy plover issues, and it is a threatened species. I think it has threatened status under the Endangered Species Act. The habitat has been declared, the whole area has been declared critical habitat. Therefore, the property owner, being the city in this case, has certain responsibilities. And those are the responsibilities were to protect that species or to at least preclude any violation of the ESA on our property. And in my opinion, the state parks, some would agree, but in my opinion, the state parks has been nothing but helpful in regard to our management of our property. And, of course, there's a whole bunch of issues with state parks management of their own property that many people have various opinions of. But I'm not talking about that, only on our property. Thank you.
Item 4.2, information on fish and game management of Windy Cove area and review of Harbor Advisory Board recommendations on this issue. Rick, you have another staff report?
Yeah, pardon me for a moment. I missed that one, thanks. Okay, well, this is an item that you did do, and I knew there was something we did in May that we were going to revisit tonight. And this was an item that we had a report at your May board meeting on abandoned vessels. We anticipated going to council. The council had directed in spring that I bring them a report on abandoned vessels in the bay. And in preparation for that, we decided to run a report and the issues through the Harbor Advisory Board in May to get a recommendation from you for the City Council. And that May meeting, you passed the following motion, that the Harbor Advisory Board recommends the City Council write a letter to Fish and Game about the problems in the Back Bay area, contact the National Estuary Program about our concerns, and ask if any grant money is available, and to notify the Fish and Game in the letter that they will be billed for any future city costs associated with sunken abandoned vessels from that area. After that meeting, we learned that a lot of things were, and things came together, let's say that, to provide for some action to work on the abandonment approved by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Hope approves the right word. I think it will be finally approved, we hope, in September that the funding of $70,000 be allocated for fish and game for financial resources to work on taking care of or at least managing the wildlife area and the boats that are illegally moored in that area. And if any of you picked up the weekly today, there's a big article on it. So a lot of information in the in the local press today. So there is quite a bit of activity. That activity was outlined in the weekly, and Fish and Game is moving forward with managing that area. Part of your recommendation asked the NAP to see if any grant money is available. Grant money has been made available. Fish and Game is taking action. So it seemed to me a good idea to bring this back to you and see if you wanted to change your recommendation to the City Council, because I have not yet made that report to the City Council that I anticipated doing in June, we learned these things were going on, and in part, I think, because of the hearings that you were having and the city council discussion on this, some of these things were brought to the forefront, so you can take some credit to that, and I hope you do. I still need to make that report to council. I'll probably try and do it sometime over the next month or two, and I suggest that perhaps you want to change or at least review your recommendation to see if you might want to change it.
Does the board have any questions for Rick?
One. You're still going to write them and tell them you're going to bill them?
Well, of course, it's a city council decision. Your recommendation included that, and I will report your recommendation to the city council, either the previous one adopted or any revision tonight.
Jim?
How certain, if anything is certain, is this action on the part of Fish and Game to use that money to do what they've, what you've said they're going to do? Is there any certainty to that at all?
Certainty is a scary word.
It is.
Is there any certainty to life? Comes to mind right away. We did include a letter from the supervisor of the Wildlife Area Management up in Monterey that clearly they intend to put resources and have a priority on this project. And I very much appreciate it with Fish and Game. They're really working on this. The local warden is...
The city of Morro Bay have input in this, or would it be at the discretion of the Fish and Game?
Yeah, and I couldn't be at the... I have not been as involved in some of the details, so Susan, you jump in if I say something wrong, but I believe that the grant from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, SCP, will go to the NEP, that they will manage the Fish and Game, the transfers or whatever activity Fish and Game operates under. So the financial management, I believe, is through the NEP. I'm sure operational decisions, including process, procedures, timing, are all going to be made at Fish and Game. Or at least that would be my supposition. Correct? Yeah, okay.
So they don't really, let's see, the NEP doesn't really have the physical means to do this, so they would be probably utilizing the city and reimbursing us or hiring other contractors. It's just up in the air with unknown right now.
Go ahead and try. But just let this know.
I think right now it's somewhat up in the air. It sounded to me, for the most part, that Fish and Game is going to use their own resources and maybe contract out for some of it, as indicated, I think, in the letter. We have indicated our willingness to assist, if necessary, with vessels and manpower, and we would be reimbursed if we did assist in that manner, but we will wait and see if they need us. And in terms of deciding on specific vessels and which ones they are going to look at initially, they have contacted us and they are in discussions with us, but it is basically their management decision as it is their jurisdiction, but they're certainly keeping us apprised of and keeping us in the loop, which we appreciate very much. So.
And let's see. I didn't see the most recent article, but the last article I had read indicated that there were still mitigation funds or SEP funds that the CMC was working with, so still a lot of funds available out there. Are there needs of the city that we have been able to identify to notify NEP and the CMC, Fish and Game, and whoever's involved in this outside of us, that we would like to have some of that money directed in those areas which would benefit the harbor?
Projects to go for and put the money towards, ironically, really go with the entity that is being fined. So they make the decision, and if the board doesn't like it, then the money will go to Sacramento. The board does have the final decision on approving those and the specific amounts of funding that would go to each item. And at that meeting, Councilwoman Winholtz attended, and she brought up that it would be wonderful to have some of the other money go towards a tertiary treatment, which would be great. It is something the city needs. It's something they're aiming towards. The CMC made it fairly clear that they did not want the money to go towards that. So there's a complicated issue in that CMC has to want to do the SEP. So we have suggested certain things, both from council level and our level, but those three things, the Back Bay management and the pump-out vessel and the riparian fencing are projects that the CMC wants to fund, and they made it fairly clear that if they are fined the full $600,000, they would rather fund those three projects at greater levels than entertain any new ideas. So that's
okay.
Kind
that
of
still
where
is
we're
beneficial
at.
To us.
Yes, it certainly
yeah.
helps the estuary. It's still a good thing to do, but it seemed like they were not open to looking at a lot of other ideas. And we'll know more about that at the September meeting when they'll bring their final proposals forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Mandy?
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned the floating pump out because according to Dan Berman, yeah, they're definitely willing to fund those three projects that you were talking about, which would be great for the city. According to this letter, though, from because the NEP has been in contact with Fish and Game, my big concern here is according to this letter, it's a letter from it's a letter that is responding to Mr. Berman's request that they have the authority to be able to remove three unoccupied moorings back there. And they became available, and they got the big okie dokie. But the way this letter sounds is that Fish and Game isn't taking responsibility for it, that the NEP is going to remove those moorings, fund it, and actually organize that. That's the way this letter sounded. Now, is that the way that this whole the whole project with Fish and Game is going to go, or
responsibility to do so? The money will come through the fine, through the NEP, and to them to affect those changes.
Well, you know, this letter says, by way of this letter, we are granting you authority to remove these three abandoned moorings, as well as any others that may be vacated. Basically, this letter is saying, well, yeah, you have permission. Go ahead and take them out.
Well, I don't... Yeah, and I don't think it's fair to portray that letter in, you know, we're looking at a letter that they were trying to, actually, I look at that letter very positively because they were willing to take action as soon as possible on some opportunities even prior to the funding resources being made formally available in September. So I have a different perspective on that letter altogether. It looks to me like this shows a real change from Fish and Game, that they were working actively with NEP. They identified a couple of opportunities that things could be done right away. I very strongly, Sue and I both agree that the way to go after this complicated problem is to take little wins where you can get them, one step at a time, and that's a great one-step move to that they could do immediately. The program probably won't be able to start in full speed until the funding is totally made available.
You have more questions? Sure.
Yes. I just wanted to comment on what we're being asked to look at, our previous motion. And I believe that the previous motion and recommendation to the City Council should stand. I believe that it says if the city has to pay for any of this activity, then they would be billing the Fish and Game. And I think that the notice should still be in there that, yes, we expect Fish and Game to be financially responsible for it. Whether they end up getting some of the money from grants, from NEP, or any other source, that's still, that's good for them. But I don't think we should step back from our position that if we incur costs, then we need to be reimbursed for their actions or their responsibilities. So I think the motion is still a valid motion. Thank you.
I agree. This is a action item. Is there any need?
Abandoned vessels from that area. That is the motion.
That motion was?
K-
carried and passed and sent off to staff. So I see no need for a new motion.
Not unless, Rick, do you think it would be better if we reaffirmed it in light of the new information that has been presented?
I appreciate you asking. I can't see much difference. Just let the previous one stand is fine. I wanted you to
and when you present,
have an opportunity to change it.
Yeah, when you present it to the board or to the city council, you'll let them know that we have reviewed it with the new information that has come in.
Yeah,
that
reaffirmed it.
Reaffirmed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will do that.
Okay. Seeing no need for motion, I close this item. On to item information item number 5. Rick, Sue.
I better do. Yeah, I got some explaining to do on this one. We in June we made a presentation on the budget, and I wasn't totally prepared to answer the questions that came up. So I wanted to cover them tonight. The other miscellaneous revenue question was we had a category with, I think, $15,000 budget for revenue with no revenue shown in recent years. And what happened that night was that week, earlier that week, I think just a day or two before, we had gotten the budget draft, and I hadn't had a chance to fully review it. In terms, that budget category is not where the particular miscellaneous revenues, which are shower, boat rinse down, hoist use, vending machine, is going any longer. So that's the overall revenues are correct. That particular category was an error, and we need to correct that eventually, but it doesn't make a great bit of difference, in my opinion, in the overall picture. Since it was associated with certain revenues, they're just in the wrong place. There was another anomaly that was pointed out that night, in that we had previously budgeted capital outlay monies in the summary sheet that was included in your package in a category called interfund transfers, because the process the finance director had gone through is he'd take capital outlays and transfer them to a capital outlay fund. And then all of a sudden in the summary sheet you were looking at that night had a zero in capital outlay in 05-06 following that previous policy, and then he decided to change in 06-07, and the summary sheet showed the capital outlay monies in capital outlay summary contract. I'm sure I've confused the heck out of you, but anyway, what I tried to do with some information here is to show you that there was backup. The capital outlay, $103,000, that was shown in that summary category was based on real capital outlay request for additional reports from the Harbor Department. One was a report on feasibility of placing an event coordinator position in the Harbor Department. This item has been analyzed, and we prepared a report to council, which is on their agenda for next Monday night. I believe you all received a copy of that report. The packet was out yesterday. Because of funding physical constraints with our office, current work organizational structures, we cannot recommend such creation of such a position at this time. So that's our recommendation going to the city council. And the second item was they asked for, an analysis of a parking revenue program, creating a parking revenue program on the in the Embarcadero area. My belief was that their most interest was potentially the boat launch ramp, but the direction was to prepare an analysis for a pay parking program, establishment of a pay parking program, costs and benefits, not moving straight toward it, initiation of a program, but prepare an analysis on the costs and benefits of such a program in the Embarcadero area. And so that's on our to-do list for the department, because it's a pretty big project and we really are feeling impacted with many special projects at this point. We've asked to at least this winter to prepare that analysis, and so far nobody's told me that isn't okay. I have put it tentatively. That kind of item I would like to, those of you who've been on for a while remember, and those even going back a long ways, we've been talking about these kind of things for a long time. The board is on record, I believe, opposing initiation of pay parking, but I'd have to go back and check that, but I believe that was your last review of this issue. So we will run this item to the board. I have tentatively, when I can prepare the item, I have tentatively put it on your agenda for October. If we can get to it, then we will try for your October meeting. And, of course, that would be a recommendation from you on the analysis to the city council. That would be the end. That's the end of my report.
Okay, well, then I guess we're on to item. You have a question?
I just wanted to add a comment, my feelings on one of the items, the event coordinator position in the Harbor Department. I support your recommendations. I believe if there is going to be an event coordinator in the city, that it would be better to have a citywide event coordinator, which would probably be, it's just my feelings on it.
I'd have
and
to.
It's not just a harbor function.
I'd have to agree with you on that. The reason they probably shifted it down here was because we have an income coming in, and they're short on their income. So basically, that's probably why it was suggested as such. But your idea is for, if they're going to have a citywide coordinator, that's what it should be, not strictly on the waterfront.
I'd just like to add a little bit to that. There are some communities and some pretty large, especially tourist-oriented communities here in California that have done some pretty innovative things as far as their special events go. And they have all been ideas that have brought in a considerable amount of money to the city and hasn't cost the city anything. And what I know they did in South Lake Tahoe, and this is something that could be brought up here, is it was kind of an offshoot of the marketing committee for their visitors authority, and it was a special events coalition. And their mandate was to take what special events were happening in the city and to expand upon each and every one of those, because, you know, you have a window of time. What ended up happening was there were several winter events, ski races, things like that, several summer events that ended up through this process and through this committee. They ended up being expanded incredibly and brought in considerably more revenue, in that it expanded the window of opportunity for us to take in money. So since we're in such a tight budgetary type situation here, developing a special events coalition, I know we don't have a that could be possibly check in with both Parks and Rec and with the PR or the marketing, what is the promotions committee. Those two, and it could be kind of sort of tied together, an ad hoc type thing. So that's worked really well in a couple of communities.
Well, I may be a stick in the mud, but I think Morro Bay has enough tourism at this point. You try to drive down our main street today, and it's like cars are backed up all the way through. So I think tourism is a drug, and we're overloaded. How about on to Harbor status report.
We're going to make you permanent chair.
Well, that's a tough act to follow. Fireworks and everything worked out great, and we think that nest did fledge successfully. And so it was a good event all the way around for everybody, including the plovers. And it worked out well. And again, it was one of those very Morro Bay things where everybody pulled together and it came off great. So it was a nice thing to see. Central California Joint Cable Fisheries Liaison Committee meeting. It's such a mouthful. They will be holding a public meeting on August 11th from 11 to noon at 525 Harbor Street, and they're going to be considering the California Fishery Coalition's application for an emergency grant to gather data for ongoing MLPA proceedings. Rick will probably give you a little more info on that on the other item we have on here on the MLPA update, so he can kind of flesh that out a little bit more. As Nancy Castle indicated, the fish and game hearings on August 18th and 19th will be in San Luis at the Board of Supervisors chambers. They will on Friday adopt the waterfowl hunting regulations and approve the MLPA master plan framework, both of which are big issues for the city of Morro Bay. The city of Morro Bay did go on record with a letter to Fish and Game requesting a change in waterfowl hunting hours and areas for Morro Bay, and we attach that letter for your information. And Fish and Game Commission heard testimony about this June 24th in Bishop, and they will be, like I say, reviewing this. The last time I checked, which was probably last Friday, the agenda was not quite yet on the website. I haven't checked more recently. But it is available at www.fgc.ca.gov, and it should be up, I would assume, within the next week. MLPA Regional Stakeholder Group. Rick was going to give an oral report on that since he's a member of the group.
The Marine Life Protection Act was passed in 1999 and had a couple of starts that ended up not going anywhere. It was reinitiated at the Fish and Game meeting last August here again in Morro Bay with announcements from the Resources Secretary that the Resources Legacy Foundation Fund had given, I think, donated about $7 million to, and they were setting up something called the Marine Life Protecting Act Initiative to carry out the mandates of the Marine Life Protection Act. That act requires the state to review all its existing marine protected areas and provide, it's much longer than this, but the Marine Life Protection Act initiative now is well underway. They have appointed what they call a regional stakeholders group, and I think it's about 30 members from all over the Central Coast. It's quite large. I'm one member. I think I reported some of this to you previously, too. We have met twice formally, maybe three times now. We are meeting again next week in Monterey, this regional stakeholders group, on Wednesday and Thursday. It's taking a lot of time. We're trying to, my position is trying to make sure that the city's, the community's interests are expressed in this network of marine protected areas that will be recommended eventually to Fish and Game Commission, to this thing called the Blue Ribbon Task Force, and then the Fish and Game Commission probably by the very early in the next year. So at that point, that would be my report. I'm giving answers answer any questions if you'd like. Otherwise, we'll go back to Sue.
Okay, probably you've heard about the San Luis drainage reevaluation of potential discharge of selenium contaminated water into Estero Bay. It's been in the papers. The City Council did ratify the attached letter opposing that. It's the second time we've gone on record opposing that, and our board actually had made a recommendation about it a few years ago when it went before council, and council had written a letter before, and now they've written a second letter. The NEP has also written a letter opposing it, and I think pretty much every agency, local agency, has been pretty vociferous in their opposition to this. So we'll see what happens with that. The Regional Water Quality Control Board CMC fines, I think we kind of went through that pretty thoroughly in the earlier item. If you had any more questions about that, I'd be happy to answer. That item, in terms of the board making their final decision on how to allocate the remaining $300,000 of the fine, because they did at their meeting in July decide to fine them the full $600,000, not to let them have just a $300,000 fine. Tentatively, they were going to have that on their agenda for September 9th. I have not seen that on their website yet as a final agenda item, but it is a little early. I do think they want to get this done fairly quickly. I assume it will be on that, and we will keep tracking that and keep you posted on it. Those are Elise, is their cultural resource person, and both she and Regina Orr came out and helped us locate with Mandy that additional public access on the sand spit, and we thought it would be really interesting to have Elise here and give us a presentation on some of the things she's involved with. She was on vacation, so I'm hoping to hear back from her to confirm if she'll be able to make that meeting. If not, we'll get her at a one after that. And like Rick said, we will tentatively also have the parking revenue program on. One more little note. Polly probably wouldn't like me mentioning this, but Polly broke her arm it's probably been almost a month. It was right around the 4th of July. She's been out. We really, really miss her. That's why I signed the minutes and she didn't. She had done 90% of them. I basically just kind of finished them off for her. And I miss her tremendously. We all do. And we really hope she's going to be back soon. We know she's healing up and feeling better, but we miss her a lot. So she's a big part of our office, and it's been a little hard not having her with us. I can't think of anything else.
No, we don't want her to get too used to not working, so better come back soon. That'd be the end. Yeah.
Okay, we're down to additional comments. Go ahead.
You pass out a copy of the staff report that's going to the City Council on the size that they're going to be looking at, the size of the various advisory boards.
Oh. I forgot all about that, yeah. This kind of came up late. We weren't aware this was going to be on this agenda till we saw it in the packet, so we thought you should be aware. The board, and I think the reason this came up before the council was because there are some of the commissions and advisory boards are having trouble filling all of their seats. So the council people thought, well, maybe we're trying to put too many people on these boards and commissions, and they are going to look at reducing the number of people. And they mention all the boards, including the Harbor Advisory Board. I don't know what action they'll take. I would assume if they took action that it would affect boards that either have less numbers right now or for the future maybe doing something for the Harbor Advisory Board, since we do have a full complement of members. But we thought that since this could affect you directly, you should be made aware of it. And if you have specific comments, maybe attend the meeting, because it's not an action item for us. But
since we're on additional comments,
yes,
a board member eyes of this board, okay, which category are we going to eliminate? I think that is, you know, sort of a catch-22 problem that they would have with that. As far as all of the other boards, I think that they should maintain at their level that they have right now, and that the city should stop revisiting this every few years whenever there happens to be a vacancy that isn't immediately filled. I've always believed in participatory government, and the advisory boards are a great opportunity for people to serve their communities and function in an effective manner. And I believe that the more positions that are available, the more opportunity you have for different ideas to be expressed. So if you reduce all the boards down to five, that means you've reduced the number of input, the number of people that are doing consistent input. Say you have a seven-member board and you lose one member somewhere midterm. I don't think that's any big deal. You know, at least you still have six people, six voices, or five. And I would hate to have the city turn away people that want to serve on boards when it comes time to appointment time and they've got a lot of people wanting to serve, and they say, oh, well, we only have five because we gave those seats away. We decided we're not going to have six or seven on those boards. So philosophically, I think the more seats, the better on these various advisory boards. And I hope that the city council stops trying to tinker with the boards and let them, you know, function. Just takes up time on their agenda.
Mandy?
Yeah, I completely agree with Rick on that one. I mean, our board right now is a perfect example. I mean, we've got Roger missing and Don, and they really represent a part of our community that needs to be, you know, they need to have a voice. And I can't, in as much as I know that I don't agree with everybody on this board, we all offer a really valid viewpoint, and it makes the advisory board a whole entity. It is my observation. I heard about this opening myself, and I know that is a good portion of the problem, is just getting the word out. So it's not hard to do. It just takes a little bit of effort.
Ed, do you have any comments? Well, I have a quick one. Last weekend, I went albacore fishing offshore in Verges. Great experience. Took my boys out. You know, you sleep in the bunk, you do the whole sort of thing. And good experience. I even won the jackpot. So, but when you get offshore 50, 70 miles an hour, or 50, 70 miles out there, you really realize how fortunate we are to live where we do. It's like we're right on the edge of one of the most beautiful areas in the world. And I'm really glad to be here. So.
Huh?
I caught an albacore. It wasn't very big, but I caught one. Mandy?
Are you done?
You have more comments?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know how this works. Speaking of beautiful places in the world, I am formally asking for a 2 to 3 month leave of absence. I'm going to be crew on a boat going to the Galapagos and Antarctica. So I will let you guys know more specifically when I know exactly when I'll be back, but it'll be within the allotted time frame.
Go ahead, Jim.
I must have missed the initial opportunity to ask the questions, but anyway, I would be interested, and probably Rick is the one I need to ask this of, but the pump-out boat that's potentially funded, that will be a boat run by the Harbor Department, and is that correct?
The funding right now, this is something that we have put in our budget as a conceptual additional level of service in our budget description, the summary, the verbal part of the budget, as an additional level of service that might be desirable to improve environmental protection in the bay. So it's been something we've considered for a number of years, but obviously funding was a big question. And we are concerned also with any issue like this at our current. One of my themes over this last year is that we have, even if there is funding resources available, just with management structure and physical space. So these issues were sort of in the background, but we recognized it as an important potential project. Then the NEP also recognizes it as an important potential project. Sorry for the long description, but I hope that's okay. Eventually it'll have a conclusion. The NEP also recognizes it as a very interesting project if we can improve water quality. When the opportunity came up to fund this, we said that sounds really good, but we want to keep all our options open. We want to look at this, how is the best way we can serve the community with this funds? And we are in the process of doing that. And you may notice that Scott Mather is in the audience tonight. He works as one of our reserves, as one of his many things he's done in his life. So he works for the city currently as a Harbor Patrol Reserve. He's taken a real interest in this, and he's helping us put together a fair amount of background information. Next week we'll be meeting again to try and flesh out some ideas on various ways we can do it. I think I was quoting in the paper as one idea that I initially had going in that I probably preferred most was we shape this to the city and NEP providing a boat and then trying to find an independent contractor to operate it. That's one way. That puts a lower level of responsibility on us. It is possible, too, that we could look at, and we are considering the idea of converting one of our boats and doing it as a city service, maybe a broader environmental service, but that brings on those other issues. And it may be very well that we could even look at the whole other end of the spectrum as just assisting the NEP in providing this service, contracting it out. So our approach right now is to let's gather all the information up, present a number of options, and we'll try to look at the best one for the community that we can best capably manage. Survey. Oh, yeah, why don't you tell them about that? And Sue mentions another subject that you may have gotten in your noticed in your billing, those of you who get billings.
We're working with the NEP. The NEP put together a survey to send out to some of the people on the bay and access through our billing system because we send out bills every month. And they put out a survey about specifically if there was a pump-out vessel, would you use it? Do you use a pump-out now? Are you a liveaboard? What do you think would be good ways of improving the environment in the bay? And they listed things like better education, better enforcement of existing regulations, having the pump-out vessel, having the opportunity of this money coming through with the fine money. Is it we would have 3 years of this service, whoever operates it, of determining if it's really being used or if the need is in other areas, maybe a portable bilge pump out or going around and collecting filters and used oil pads on a boat would be something to look at as well. So we're kind of looking at the whole array of environmental assistance we could provide to boaters.
So the answer to your question, Jim, is we don't know exactly yet, but we put our best mind on it, our minds on it, and we're going to be trying to put some shape into the project over the next couple, 3 months. And the money wouldn't be available till after September at least anyway, so we certainly, and it may very well take us a year to propose a program to the council. But if any of you would like to provide input to me, Susan, or Scott, feel free. or Dan. Yeah, Susan, no, it's Dan Berman at the NEP, who's a great person to work with, and we have feel a very cooperative and productive relationship with him. So we feel pretty comfortable that we can come up with a good program. Unfortunately, it's going to be hard to, you know, find the time for us to work on this, given current workloads, but we'll try.
The comment I would make in regards to that is that given the likelihood of that service being available, I think there's some interest, of course, from the State Park Marina and those boats that are there to have that service provided to them as well as the boats are moored out in the harbor. The other question has to do with the soil sampling in the marina. I understand that the soil sampling has been taken, and do you have any current information on that?
Right. The soil the sediment samples were completed. Physical analysis portion of it has come back, and the physical analysis is very similar to the previous physical analysis that was done about 1990 toward the back part of the marina basin. The sediment is about 50% silt and 50% sand. Toward the entrance area, it's a little more sand than silt, up to about 80% sand. And we are awaiting the chemical analysis, and I expect that very soon. I'm hoping that we'll have... I'm hoping the next step in the EIR is to move into major analysis. We're about ready...
As Jim had mentioned, you know, State Park Marina, and those people would be really interested. There are a bunch of other private marinas and private moorings. Do you have a way to get those cards to those individuals so they could respond to?
I did suggest to the people at the NEP that it would be a really good idea to get them to some of the private marinas, and I do think they were going to make an effort to do that, and I will check with them to make sure that that's being done. They seem to want to do that because they would like to get as much input as possible. And I explained to them that my area of getting the billing at would be limited because there are a lot of private facilities in the bay that we don't send billings to. So I know that they were going to make that effort. And if you had any specific areas, you know, contact me. I know the ones we had talked about, but maybe there was ones we didn't think of, so...
And we have gotten a few of ours back. It's interesting that so far there hasn't been a great response amongst our mooring owners that they would need the mobile pump-out facility. And, of course, the State Park Marina is a very interesting. We should get that group in because there's a need. And I thought very interesting, too, there's a place on that questionnaire for what facility would you like to see, essentially, and it was I think almost everybody listed a boatyard, which I concur with too. So
additional comments, go ahead.
Okay, just one last one.
We'll just go around and around.
I just wanted to announce that the Morro Bay Friends of the Library are going to be conducting their quarterly book sale in 2 days on August 6th between 10 and 3 at the Morro Bay Library. And we've had a variety of sailing and boating boats donated, so that's sort of a tie-in to why it's part of this board here. Anyway, that's going to be Saturday, August 6th, 10 to 3 at the library. Thank you.
Okay, Ed, your turn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Aye.
All in favor, say aye. Motion to adjourn.